As the son of a bookseller, my father, Frank O'Mahony, was a bookseller in Limerick. His father was a bookseller in Limerick, so I'm a third generation, but I'm not a bookseller. And I'm standing beside, you guys go on, I'm standing beside a bookseller in Lourdes. His name is David Mann, and he's just told me that they have recently launched, in effect, relaunched this bookshop, and I think they are, in effect, rebranding it. David has seen me go up to Bishop Donald Murray and ask him to sign his book for my mother, and he's been very good because he has actually offered me to give me the book for free on condition that I will send him the photos I've taken in the bookshop. This comes as a complete shock and surprise, and I've also been able to tell him that I recorded an audio in the bookshop. But what I'd like to do is to find out from David when he stopped talking to customers, because we just started to do an interview, but then customers arrived and I decided I was getting out of the way, because the last thing I want to do is to get in the way of a bookseller selling his book, or a bookseller in effect selling his brand. I mean, it's really the most, my fun thing my father taught me was that the customer is absolutely the most important thing. So if a customer comes towards you when you're working in a bookshop, you stop everything else and you attend without the slightest distraction to the customer. And I'm now looking at a man and one, two, three, four women paying attention to David's conversation. And I'm filling in the time here, waiting for him to come back to me. The man is just draining his glass of red wine. The lady is also draining her glass of... David, thank goodness. I was getting out of the way because my father taught me as a child that the customer was the number one.
This is it.
Therefore, I don't distract you from your customer. Look, tell me, who are you? Let's get that first of all. I know you're the manager of this bookshop, but who are you?
I spring it on you.
While you're thinking up the answer, here's another customer coming up here. And I'll change the question if it's too profound. But it's not meant to be all that profound. Although if you... do the customer stuff and I'll...
One bookman to another?
Absolutely. You see, I'm the son of a father bookseller and a grandfather bookseller.
And are you a bookseller?
I'm not.
Oh.
I'm a writer.
Oh.
I depend on booksellers to sell my book.
Oh.
So, in fact, my father brought me up to say, don't ever try to get a book published. Try to get it to sell.
Oh.
So I am. That's where I fit. But well, I'm the one brother well, in the
I,
family.
I would be the ambition to get it be read.
Absolutely. You want it to be read. Well, actually, the only reason I want it to sell is to get read. And the only reason I want it to be read is to change the world. That's my...
And to do that, you must touch people's imagination.
How many books have you written?
Two.
What
Three.
Are they? Do you mind if I ask you what their names are?
Three.
What were they called?
The first one was The Words of an Itinerant Labourer, or in Irish, Fuckle Spalpeen.
I met you before. You took me on a walk around Lourdes. Go on, Fuckle Spalpeen, go on. I know.
And then I did a book on young Christian workers, bringing the gospel to the young workers. And the third one was The Stones Will Cry Out.
Oh, I like that. What's that about?
It's verse I wrote over the years, but it's hugely a meditation on the landscape and on this whole struggle with articulating the faith in Ireland. Because Irish people, first of all, don't trust words apart from useful or money words or diversion, entertainment. But if you want to use words just as words, symbols, compassion, recognition, dignity, they're only for special places and very short confined times. And secondly, Catholics, even Protestant priests especially, have no confidence in holy words. So operating in a climate where people haven't much tolerance for the poetic words and no tolerance for holy words, how do you articulate Jesus, the gospel, in County Limerick?
I love it. I met you before. You're a wonderful man. Do you remember? Or you won't remember. You've walked with so many people.
I think I did. But I'm a poet,
right? And you even got me 2 years ago in Lourdes
to read out. But can you sympathise with my perception of the culture in which I'm floating?
No, I can empathise. Forget sympathy. You poor man. Tough luck, man. It's tough. You know,
99 I empathize. Times, if, not 99, but very often if I ask people about a sermon and approach and all this, what I'll get is, keep a chat, Father. Keep a chat, Father.
But look, why don't you give sermons in haiku?
You know, what I found a great outlet recently, I do a bit once every 3 months with the Sacred Space Radio in West Limerick. And they do podcasts that go on the World Podcast. So... and when you're on the radio and there's the people who are listening with their own choice and don't feel trapped at all, for instance, now there's one I'm told about words that have come back in the feedback is when I told people that God is stone mad about you.
Yes.
And you see, if you're driving a car or sitting down at home or doing nothing else but listening to the radio and you hear a human voice with a bit of conviction, I suppose, yes, and joy saying, God is stone mad about you. The imagination.
I love it. Will you do me a favour?
Yeah.
Will you read me a poem? One of mine.
Have you read the poem?
I have. First of all, you better look, because I don't want to trick you now into reading something you wouldn't like to read. But here's the book. I'll tell you, I'll put it in context. Now, this is no obligation now. But I couldn't. I was going to the Stations of the Cross today, right?
Oh yes.
And I didn't get there. So instead of it, I had my Stations of the Cross in the perch.
Oh! I'm on a lot of old board schools and others, but there's one very good board. It's the board of Doris, the asylum seekers. Very good board. And watching their policies on this and policies on that and policies on, and they get templates and all this kind of stuff, health and safety and rights and everything. But I feel there's a great niche in the market for all companies who are into proper governance, a template on ego management.
Will you read the first haiku then? Maybe you could.
Are they separate units?
They are actually separate meditations, but they fit together.
That's why I was sent up when you mentioned.
Yeah, yeah. They do go together. They go on.
The way of the cross. What's this now?
Shards.
Just keep on moving.
No, feet keep on moving.
Oh, very nice. Should heavy weight like a
nomad. Traveller. Born.
Oh. Sacrifice of mind for the sake of a decent thought. Humans.
Help.
Your mind. Well, that echoes me a bit with the ego, but on the road to hell. Oh, I talked to the youngster this morning, putting away in chair. You're on the road to heaven. On the road to hell. Oh, and heaven, you can find grace, butterflies emerge. Oh.
Would you read one of them for
me? You ready now?
I am. Off you go. We have an audience of none.
I know, we have a full audience. Would you please listen, please, to this following poetry reading. Stations of the Cross. I fell from the perch, pedestal of my ego, crashed to earth in pain. The way of the cross, shards cut deep in the soul, feet keep on moving. Shoulder heavy weight, like a nomad traveller,
born,
become colourful. Sacrifice your mind for sake of a decent hug, humans help each other. On the road to hell and heaven, you can find grace. Butterflies emerge.